Okay, welcome back to our learning at Shari, everybody. Good evening. We are learning Gilui Nishmas on the Zecher Nishmas of Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaHosham, Meir Nisham Evan Ali, and the Merit of our Torah. On tonight is Orlium, Alachov Gim Machashvan, and her Yurtzeit, Miriam Fron's Yurtzeit, is upcoming this coming Yom Rishon Sunday, which is 26th Cheshvan, is her Yurtzeit. Her daughter's not with us tonight because she was going to Eretz Yisrael for the Yurtzeit. So may her memory be the Tova. And may she have a continuous aliyah, and her family should really only have simchas and besuras tovos always. Mm-hmm. I also want to mention, I'm sure everybody saw what happened in Muncie this morning. The man who was stabbed, he was walking to shul early in the morning, 29 years old, father of four children, the Hatzalah received a call of a man lying on the floor bleeding. At first it was assumed he was struck by a vehicle, but he was able to speak to Hatzalah for a couple of minutes before he became unconscious. The victim stated a vehicle pulled up, two men got out, brutally assaulted him, stabbed him multiple times, and then drove away. Security cameras at the scene, whatever footage, whatever it is, verified the account. He was transported to Westchester Trauma Center, emergency surgery. He is listed in critical, Baruch Hashem, stable condition, multiple serious stab wounds. I said before, it's hard for us to imagine the reality that we're living in such a time, but we are. And he shall have a refuah shleima, Mordechai ben Bracha b'soch she'archo le'Yisrael. We should have rachamei shemayim. On page 194, let's just go to the bottom, mamish the bottom of page 193. Okay. In order to develop spiritual fear, one must first nurture the qualities of meekness and self-refinement. So we're talking about something that's very relevant and very important, which is this quality of meekness. We said on the one hand, last week, just to recap in 30 seconds, on the one hand, we have a quality of boldness, amkshei oref. We are a strong people. We are a stubborn people. We must use that for holy matters. That's why Moshe gave that defense after Egel HaZahav, after the Chet HaEgel. But we are also blessed with an inner sense of meekness. And we quoted last time from the Gemara in Yevamos, where the Gemara says we are Rachman and Baishanim and Gomle Chasadim. Last three lines on page 193. Okay? In order to develop spiritual fear, one must first nurture the quality of meekness and self-refinement. Instead of being coarse and crude, one should eat, drink, speak, and act calmly. We ended by quoting a story from Rav Gifter that about telling the boy that he should not be drinking from a can. We should not be coarse and crude. We should eat, drink, speak, and act calmly. And this is so relevant, and he's really giving all of us Musar and Eitz and how we live our lives. Top of page 194. Such gentle behavior produces an inner calmness and a sensitivity. When one becomes more refined, he is able to sense things greater than himself and relate to them with the proper sensitivity. So I personally find this very, very interesting, this idea that an inner calmness, a sensitivity, a more gentle way of eating, drinking, and speaking actually leads to Yiras Hashem. I'm not sure. I think I mentioned this last week. Joanna said something. What did you say last week? That it's natural that someone who is more meek becomes a Yiras Shamayim. Was it someone else who said that? I just never associated the two things together. I never associated the fact that someone who is more meek would necessarily be a Yiras Shamayim. But like he says, you should eat, drink, speak, and act calmly. It's true though, when you think of the Gedolim and how they act, and when you think of the Hamon Am and how they act, there's clearly a difference in the Gedolim and their level of Yiras Shamayim and our level of Yiras Shamayim. So I wanted to quote from the Sefer called Sparkling Speech. This is actually a Sefer put out by Rav Elyal Shasen. He used to be a Mesif de Teres Yaakov, but now is he still at Shar Yashav, and he also has a shul, right? Yeah. So it's called Sparking Speech, Sefer Yul Ratzon Imrei Fi, by Rabbi Sandler. So this is interesting. The chapter is called Absence of Shame. So part of shame doesn't mean to be like embarrassed. It means like to be a Baishan, to have a meekness or a self-refinement. So what does he say? David HaMelech identified three positive character traits, we quote in Parsha Kas this week, by which Jews can generally be recognized. We are Rachmanim, we have a sense of mercy and compassion. Baishanim, we are, it's translated as bashful, or meek, or refined, or tsanua. And we are Golnei Chasadim, we do acts of loving kindness. The virtue of, he's talking specifically about to be a Baishan. What's a good translation? Shameful? That sounds like the wrong word when you say to have shame. Shy. It doesn't mean that.
Shy.
It doesn't mean you have to be shy.
Modest.
Humble. Look how beautiful Lashon HaKodesh is. There are literally some words that you cannot translate. You can't. It loses the meaning when you try. It's not really modest. It is modest, but it's not only modesty. It's not shy.
We need art scroll.
What?
We need art scroll.
Art scroll?
Yeah.
Even no, they can translate.
I would say bashful.
Okay. You could have art scroll, but the point is to, that's why it was a tragedy. That's why the sages decreed a fast when the Torah was translated out of Lashon HaKodesh. Because, yes, we live in Galus and we need English, but the reality is that it's not supposed to be translated. So I'm just going to stick with Baishan, okay? The virtue he uses, bashfulness or shame, is held in such high regard, it is stated as the reason behind the dramatic events surrounding the giving of the Torah at Har Sinai. When the Gemara in Yevamos, there 79a, the Gemara says we are Baishanim, so the Gemara quotes a pasuk. How do you know that Bnei Yisrael are Baishanim? So the Gemara says, Uba avur tiyeh yirasu al pneichem levilti techta'u. It's from Sefer Shemos, Parachav, after the Aseres HaDibros, by Matan Torah. The pasuk says, what shall you be, or what do we need? When the fear of God is on your face, levilti techta'u, so that you will not sin. So here you see, having fear of Shamayim, it's called yiraso, so yiras Hashem. The Gemara says, that's a proof that we are baishanim. It doesn't say it's a proof we are yiras Shamayim. The Gemara says, what's a proof that we are baishanim? Lamantia yiraso al pneichem. So the Gemara puts together baishan with yira. The pasuk states, these events transpired, so we would be filled with awe, so we would revere Hashem. Chazal explained, the goal of awe is to infuse the Jewish people with bashfulness. So maybe I always had the wrong approach to Yiras Shamayim. The more bashful person is, the greater he is at Yiras Shamayim. This trait would serve as a deterrent. Deterrent? Like
deterrent.
Deterrent, thank you. From sin. So being bashful would prevent me from sinning. And if I prevent them from sin, I have more Yiras Shamayim. And ensure the fulfillment of the demanding requirements of the Torah. The Gemara explains as follows. The fear of Hashem will be upon your face means to be a Baishan. The Archos Tzadikim praises the attribute of shame as follows. Archos Tzadikim Shar Habusha. Va'alkein ra'oi l'kol adam lihishtadel v'lihitnaheg b'mida chashuva hazos lihit chakemla. It is worthy for every man to try with this important mida to become wise in it. So true, when you think today of what people feel comfortable talking about and what people feel uncomfortable talking about, so you just rolled your eyes. Why? Because it's a reality of the society in which we live, that there is no more bashfulness.
The amount, you know, sometimes people will curse and they'll say to me, oh, excuse me, or something. But it's more and more just everyday language, just, you can't utter three sentences.
I know.
It's horrendous.
It's horrendous. And you should know, it was interesting because I was just talking about it with the kids recently. So two of the kids, and my daughter said she's 16 and a half, can I know that one of the teachers told them that, I don't know, going back 50 years or in the 1950s, so that would be 7 years, that you wouldn't even say a woman is pregnant. She's in a certain way.
She's
so my kids
child.
Could not even understand. She's with child. Okay. When you say my kids could not even understand that pregnant's a bad word. Why would you say pregnant?
I love Lucy. They had to have the
separate.
They
always had separate beds.
But their feet had, one foot had to be on the floor when they were sitting on the beds.
Say it again.
Their feet, and I love Lucy, their feet, anybody that had a bedroom scene, their feet had to be on the floor if they were sitting on the bed.
Could you imagine?
And also even her pregnancy.
Yes.
That what?
They had her pregnancy as well. They didn't talk about her being pregnant.
No.
So my daughter said, and she couldn't understand. She couldn't even, and Baruch Hashem, she is a tsanua. Erlich, Balas Midas Tovas, but she couldn't even, she wasn't trying to like be chutzpah or anything. She couldn't understand that pregnant is a bad word. It's not a bad word. It alluded to something which was not even spoken about. How far we have fallen. And what does he say here? This trait should serve as a deterrent from sin. Going back to the Archot Tzadikim. Al kein ra'oi l'chol adam lehishtadel. Every man it is worthy to try. V'lehisnaheg b'mida chashuva hazos. To act with this important midah. Lehis chakemla. From Chacham, to become wise in it. Ad shetehei kavua b'nafsho. It should be established in your soul. V'yagbir oso al kol tivav. Yagbir osa al kol tivav. It should be more at the top of, take precedence over all other nature, all your character traits, or your nature. Why? This should be like the leading one. Because if you have bashfulness, or shame, or baishan, or whatever you want to translate it, all other midos will fall into place. V'tiyah be'enav chashuva misha'ar midosav. This midah of busha, or to be a baishan has the same letters as busha, should be in your eyes more important than other mizus. This is Arch Sadiq Mshar Busha. Ki ba yagia el rov hamailos. Through this midah, you will come to all other milos. How do you translate? High levels, degrees, like a mila step. The yimna me averos. You will be held back from averos, umikol midas muganos, and from all negative character traits. Midas habusha hi geder. The midah of busha is a geder, a fence. Umechitzas barzel lifnei kol averos. It is the partition, it is the iron partition, and the mechitza to have busha separates you from all of the sins. Because if you have busha, you're too embarrassed to do an avera, and therefore you have Yerushamayim. That's what the Archa Sadikim says. We see from here, says Rabbi Sandler, how important and necessary the trait of shame is for one to be saved from sin and to have the proper fear of heaven. The character trait of shame and bashfulness is noticeably absent. Ready, Abigail? And lacking when one speaks nivul peh. That's what Rabbi Sandler specifically says, because when speaking in this manner, you're speaking on matters that should be kept private, that should be personal. Today, everything's out in the open. These are subjects that should not be open for discussion and may certainly not be incorporated into various forms of entertainment. Rabbeinu Yonah maintains it is due to this rationale that harsh consequences are meted out to those who speak nivul peh. And the Shari Teshuva, he says, the reason that a person who speaks nivul peh is guilty of such a weighty sin, he is despised, he is abhorred, he is abandoned and forsaken the character trait of modesty and bashfulness. Ki azav vihiniya chabusha vehatznius. Azav, he has left, vihinicha, he has set aside, hiniya chabusha vehatznius. He does not have any sense of Jewish shame. Everything is out in the open. You feel you could talk about anything. So how could you have Yerushamayim? Because really what you're saying is you forget the Ribono Shel Olam. Continues Rabbeinu Yonah. Instead, he has gone on the path of brazenness, which is the way of the lowly and the wicked. Then he quotes Rabbeinu Yitzchak Abu Hab, author of Menorah Hama'or. One who speaks nivul peh abandons the path of shame. And someone said modesty. Who said modesty for Baishan? Someone said modesty. Chani?
Yeah? I said shy.
Yeah, I said modesty.
Oh, okay, fine. One who speaks nivul peh abandons the path of shame and modesty, which are the exceptional characteristics by which Jews are set apart. He is thereby demonstrating he has no part in the holy nation. I try very hard. This is a cute story. It just happened this evening. There was someone in the house. So I tried very hard not to say the word S-T-U-P-I-D. It's not a Jewish person. It's a, like, fix-it man. And his English isn't so good. He's like a handy member, really more of a contractor. His English isn't so good. So I was trying to say something. So I said something about the S-T-U-P-I-D. I don't even know what I was saying. I didn't want to say the word, but I needed to identify the thing that needed to be fixed. It was causing me a lot of aggravation. He doesn't even speak proper English. The person has to be careful how he talks. The Chavach Chaim writes, speaking nivul peh can eventually lead one to succumb and engage in illicit activities. It's not just nivul peh. It will lead to something else. In order to do so, the Yetzer Hara causes him to speak nivul peh. He loses the trait of shame, and it becomes much easier for the Yetzer Hara to convince you to commit grave averos. So it's a path, like we saw. Who says the Orchos Tzadikim? It is a geder and mechitzas habarzel. Says the Chofetz Chaim, know that there is an additional great cause that results in the wanton violation of the prohibition against illicit relations, and that is nivul peh. You don't think that from nivul peh you're going to go from speaking not nicely to doing inappropriate things. However, the reason is as follows. It's known as a result of the character trait of shame, a person possesses fear of heaven. So over and over, you see the sources are pointing us to the fact that one who has shame has fear of heaven. And that is a deterrent from sinning. This character trait was in fact embedded into us at Har Sinai. Therefore, when the evil inclination wishes to bring you to sin, he accustoms one to violate the sin of nivul peh, which removes the trait of shame. This is from Nidchei Yisrael. He draws the evil inclination more and more into himself, at which point it becomes easier to sin. One more source, Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch, describes nivul peh as being antithetical to the virtuous trait of shame. Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch says, man is mandated to, is everyone with me? Man is mandated to cover any aspect of anything animal-like in his body. Man is mandated to cover up anything animal-like in his body, to conceal even from his own eyes. How great is the defilement if man sullies with animal-like filth, the pure treasure trove of humanness and spirituality within him, as exhibited through what? That defines us so much more than animals. It was here last week also. Speech.
Right.
How great is the defilement if man denigrates his power of speech. Speech is inherently noble. It is spiritual. It is divine. If we use it as a vehicle to convey animalistic tendencies, we assassinate the sentiment of shame. Through nivopa, through speaking inappropriately, we listen to those words, assassinate the virtue, the modesty, the sentiment of shame. How great is the defilement if we use our speech to uncover that which should be covered. So when you speak nivopa, when we do not act, like the Mechaber says, with an inner calmness, when we do not act with a sensitivity, when we do not speak and act calmly, but rather coarse and crude, we are opening up what should be covered, and we become like an animal. An animal doesn't cover himself up. It's not an embarrassment. That's just how an animal is. Animals don't cover themselves. This is the sin that Chazal dubbed with the term nivopa. What does nivopa actually mean? Here's defined by Rav Shem Shemuel Hirsch. Withering. Withering? W-I-T-H. Withering.
Withering.
What is wrong with me? I'm jet lag. Withering of the mouth. That's nivopa. It's desecration. It's demise. Woe to a time. Now, he died in 1880. So he's talking about it could be 200 years ago, a little bit less. Woe to a time period where speech has ceased to be pure, when the youth have become so defiled and animal-like that this behavior brings joy to their spirit, and their power of speech is in a domain that is lacking shame. That's from his Sefer Chorev. Oy lo lizman shebo hadibur chadal lihiyot tahar. Woe to the time when speech is no longer pure. Shebnei haneurim, young people, hit bahamu. Oh, they become like animals. Ad kedei kach shafilu rochem smich simcha b'kach. They take great joy in what they're doing. Umaamedas es koach hadibur lerishus choser habusha. There's a total lack of busha. And it's so easy to, also, I don't know if you ever get them. Baruch Hashem, I don't so very, very rarely. But, you know, what are they called? Memes? Pictures? Sometimes it's so easy to just forward inappropriate pictures because we lose our sense of shame. You know, it's funny because, summary, the character trait of bashfulness and shame is considered to be of paramount importance. The character trait of busha is considered to be of paramount importance to the life and divine service of a Jew. It helps safeguard against overstepping boundaries. I have a friend, I don't know if you know this, I've heard this before, that there are couples who, when you need to address the spouse of the opposite gender, they say, do you know anyone like this? And someone like this, they only say Mr. and Mrs. Like, I know someone, she's, I think, younger than me. We're not social friends, but we're quite, quite friendly, and we have shaykhs with each other from many situations, but she calls my husband Mr. Horowitz, right? And there's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. Even if today we don't even understand it anymore, there's a reason for it. It helps from transgressing the precepts of the Torah. What did he say?
No. There are Rebbeim that counsel doing that.
Our Rebbe in the Shtibel.
That what?
He'll only address a woman as Mrs.
Is a Mrs. Right, so that ends up, but I'm just pointing out it's not even for someone on the level of a Rav or a Rebbe. I'm talking about normal people.
When I was a newlywed in Lakewood, that was a common practice.
Yeah. But today it's not anymore. Maybe in certain circles, but for the most part, from what I know, it's not anymore. I'm not saying it shouldn't be.
No,
I'm just saying that.
It doesn't happen when you have little kids. I have no problem calling adults by their first name. Yeah. So.
Oh, today you hear little kids calling adults by their first name.
So, you're not going to have to.
Brazen behavior speech. That was never done. Brazen behavior speech. My mother told me that my two sets of grandparents would call them each other Mr. and Mrs. In other words, my father's parents and my mother's parents were not, or the mechatunim, you would not say first name. We have fallen so far. Brazen behavior speech is therefore not only foreign to the very fabric of one's makeup as a Jew. Brazenness and brazen speech is foreign to the very fabric of makeup as a Jew, but it threatens one's innate ability to abstain from sin and to remain on the correct path. Nivopa is a flagrant breach in the wall of shame and is treated with utmost severity. Yes.
Like at work.
What?
At work, also.
Yeah, what at work?
My boss prefers to be called by his first name, so I just don't address him.
Because you know?
I just offer. I don't say Mr. and I just don't say anything. I just ask the question.
So sometimes you have in today's day and age, because you're saying at work, in medical practices, where the practitioner, I'm saying, wants to be called by their first name. It's like, I don't let my kids do it.
Really?
What?
They do that? Doctors?
I don't let my kids do it.
Dr. Lightman wrote an article about that in the Jewish Home.
What?
Dr. Lightman once wrote an article about that in the Jewish Home.
Dr. Lightman, I saw it. It was very good. So there's no shame anymore. There's no shame. And he's going to talk about it towards the end of this chapter. What he's going to say is that if we don't have yira for a person anymore, which we're demonstrating that it's totally lacking, then it's very hard to have yira for the Ribbono Shel Olam. We have no yira for a authority figure anymore. If your doctor is your best friend and you call them by the first name, I read the article. It was great. I should have saved it. It was excellent. It was by Dr. Lightman, and he spoke about exactly this. He said, you know, I had your parents as patients, and now I have used patients. There's no busha, and there's no shame, and there's no kavod. And then you don't have yira. And if you don't have yira for a man, you don't have yira for the Ribbono Shel Olam either.
On the other hand, also, there's someone who I'm close with, and I would address her Mrs. Like anytime I wrote her email or whatever, Mrs. And one time she wrote, I think it's about time you call me, whatever. So I wrote back, I said, just the way I was brought up.
Her first name, was this me? I think this was me.
No, it's not you.
I think it was me.
No, it wasn't you. I'm not referring to you.
Okay. What did you want to say?
We refer to our parents also by the mama when we talk about them.
Say it again, I'm sorry.
We never called my mother mommy, right? We called the mama when we talk about her.
Third
we always
person.
Talk about her third yes. person. And my parents also, they called Mechutin, I mean, you know, was very, very formal.
But you know, I want to tell you something very interesting. It's also a reflection of what happens in the Mon Anam, in the general society. Like 70 years ago in general society, they didn't say she's pregnant, or I don't know if it was they said she's with child. And when you looked at pictures of how people went out in the olden days, I'm not talking about Jews, how they were dressed.
Yeah, exactly.
If you look at the pictures from the 30s and the 40s and the 50s, the men wore hats. They wore suits. The women were covered. Yeah. People went out normally. So they didn't speak. Like who said, I love Lucy? That wasn't a Jewish show. The effects of society affect our behavior. And you see it in reflecting. And from side, I want to tell you a fascinating insight that I was listening to Shir, Amotei Shabbos, Rabbi Zev Lef. It was like from 2015, Yeshiva Shalevim. It was here last week also.
He was here last week.
He's coming to learn. He wants to follow up of Shia. Okay, so Rabbi Zev left with Shiva Shalavu, but he made such an interesting point. He said, we blame everything on the Yetzer Hara. Okay, you do something wrong, Yetzer, Yetzer. He said, there's two things you have to distinguish between the Yetzer Hara and the effects of living in Galus amongst the Umos HaOlam. He said, they're not the same thing. What do I mean? He said, let's say, this was very interesting, the Yetzer Hara is internal. From the time that Isha ate from the first fruit, the Nachash was external. Rabbitson Spiegel, she should be well, once mentioned this to me also many years ago. When we ingested the first fruit, the Yetzer Hara moved inside. Ki Yetzer Lev Ha'adam Ra Minu Rav. We have a Yetzer Hara. Then there are certain things that we do not have a Yetzer Hara for, but we sin because of the effects of Galus and the society of the Umas HaOlam, not because of Yetzer Hara. So Rabbi Lev said, I'm going to tell you what I mean. If you tell somebody who doesn't know about society, okay, would you like to buy a $300, probably even more, $500 pair of faded, ripped blue jeans? And the boys are laughing. He's talking, you know, to Yeshiva, to Bachman. And you could get the same thing at the Salvation Army for free. You don't know anything about the pressure of society. And you say to him, would you like to spend hundreds of dollars on faded, torn, shredded jeans? Or you could get it for free. A person doesn't have a natural Yetzer Hara for that. A person would say, I'm crazy, you're crazy. Why would I want to do that if I could get them for free? Then you live in a society, you're in Galus, you're affected by the Umos HaOlam, and suddenly those jeans or substitute, whatever it is that we buy for expensive things, have great appeal. But really, internally, that has no appeal to you. He said, I'll give you another example. He said to the boys, I'm hoping I'm not insulting anyone here, but he said, for me, Baruch Hashem, I do not have this machla. That's what he said. And he said, it's a problem in the yeshiva shevelt. And he said, smoking. He said, I hope I'm not insulting anybody, but he said, if you would take that person, when they just come out, if they could talk, would you like to do something that will kill you? It will destroy your lungs. You won't be able to get air. The person would say, why would I want to do this? Then you're put into environment, and you are influenced by your environment. So he said, we must distinguish between the Yetzer Hara, the things that a person has a natural tendency to sometimes not wake up on time for Shacharis, to sometimes, I don't know, not wash for Shalosh Shuddos because, my gosh, I just finished lunch and now I need to wash again. That is an internal drive that tells me not to do the right thing versus societal pressure. So this decline in the coarseness, this decline in our refinement, and the increase in coarse crudeness with which we eat, drink, and speak and act is not, I should even say, primarily from our Yetzer Hara. It's a large part. And I think it's a fascinating, I told it over to my family, and I think it's a very interesting nekuda. We tend to lump everything into the Yetzer Hara, It's not always the Yetzer Hara. It's the effect of limbo amongst the Umos HaOlam and the problem of galus. And it causes us to act in a certain way that naturally we have no desire. Am I explaining it well? Naturally, you have no desire to act that way.
But it's not our fault.
What?
But it's not our fault.
It's not our fault? I can't say that. A person has to be responsible. Yes, it is. We could stand up for what's right. We might feel a taiva, but it's just to understand that the taiva comes from society. That's part of our nisano. I'll give you an example, and I hope I'm not insulting anybody, but everyone should do whatever they want. Not that person can't. Did you listen to Rav Shai Shechter's shir this week? Not that a person, the newest one, he said people spend money on simchas when they can't even afford to pay the bills. Because society expects a certain degree. And Rabbi Love was really talking about that. I listened to him on the show. It's very interesting. I'll give you an example that I thought for after I heard Rabbi Love speak about this. Okay, my boys are in 8th grade in Darchea. I hope I'm on something. Everyone can do whatever they want with their money. It's not about that. It's about why we behave in a certain fashion. Now, my boys told me that there are some kids in their grade. I don't know anything about it. I don't know how much it costs, but in honor of bar mitzvahs or just for whatever, the boys will have a Ferragamo belt. I have no idea how much it costs. I don't know. Young children that talk on the bus about their belt. Why do you do that? You have a Yetzer Hara? I don't know how much is that. How much does it cost?
It's a couple $100. Yeah.
How much?
It's a couple $100.
Okay, so does anyone naturally have a Yetzer Hara to spend? It holds up your pants. So I buy for my boys in Sioux Central, costs $25. I hope my boys aren't going to be embarrassed that I'm saying this online. But does a person naturally have a type? What's it? It's a piece of leather and it holds up your pants. But that's not a natural Yetzer Hara. That's the pressure of the society in which we live. So too, the way we speak. If society didn't say pregnancy, so nobody would talk in such a debased fashion. As society becomes more and more debased, so too do we. And speech is a gather and a mechitzas habarzel against bush. And if Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch could write 200 something, less, a little less, years ago, woe to our youth today who have lost the cleanliness of speech. What would he say if he was alive today?
It would kill him, God forbid.
Let's go back. Top of page 194. Such gentle behavior produces an inner calmness and sensitivity. When one becomes more refined in this way, he's able to sense things greater than himself and relate to them with the proper sensitivity. Yira is not like seeing an animal being afraid of it. That's not what yira means. It doesn't mean like pachad or terror. It comes from a subtle and delicate sense in the soul. As long as the soul is not open to sensing delicate and subtle things, it will be difficult for a year to be felt. Nowadays, and look how much he's focusing here. Again, he mentioned speech on the previous page. He mentions behavior to be calm and sensitive. And then he says, nowadays, most people don't think twice about speaking loudly and boisterously. And it's true, we don't. I found a cute story when preparing for Shir. I opened it up for a different purpose, actually, but I guess Hashem directed it to me for this. I was trying to find something else. Rabbi Kamenetsky says, I thought he says in Parshas Noach. It wasn't him, but mamash, I open up to this page. In the late 1980s, a robber walked into Rabbi Mordechai Kamenetsky in his Parshas Parables. He always asks a question, tells a mashal or a parable, and then resolves it with the answer. Dvar Torah on the Parsha. In the late 1980s, a robber walked into a bank in Oceanside, California, with a gun and a note. He strode up to the teller, who appeared to be the easiest target. A woman in her 50s, by the way, a woman in her 50s, he probably wrote this when he was 30, with a gentle grandmotherly appearance. He makes it sound like an old lady. He handed her the note that demanded money. Give me all your money or I will blow your expletives, you know, the symbols. I'll blow your head off, so that's a swear word. Or something to that effect. She reached for the cash drawer to oblige. Suddenly she looked back at the note and her teeth clenched. She squeezed her hands into a tight fist. She turned red in a flash. She pulled out the metal drawer. She flung it at him. She bashed him over the head. She hit him once. She hit him again. She hit him again. She yelled in a rage. The money was flying all over the bank. The patrons ran for cover. The dazed thief retreated in fear. Police caught him hiding under a nearby bush. Later, they figured out what had spurred the heroics of the grammarly teller. She was chasing the would-be robber, screaming, "Don't you ever use such foul language again," because the note had expletives. We're not sensitive anymore. And therefore, the Mechaber says, nowadays, most people don't think twice about speaking loudly and boisterously. Some act this way even in the presence of Gedolei Yisrael, which means you lack a yira for a human being. So how should you have yira for Hashem? You know, talking about society influencing us, I'm just thinking now, I didn't think about when I was preparing. And he's a good man, and he's done a lot of good things. Look how the president speaks. No, I'm not, I'm really actually sadly not making a joke.
No.
Compared to how President John F. Kennedy spoke. Okay, or Reagan. There is a complete lack of dignity, of sensitivity, of meekness and self-refinement.
Yes.
There is a coarseness and a crudeness.
Yes.
Who calls people names? Every political dissenter.
But look what he's done.
What?
Look at all the nice things he's done for us.
I started off by saying he has done many very good things. I'm specifically talking about the decline in meekness.
But the president before him had a golden tongue.
Oh, he was.
He was so.
Okay, so Yamach Shmo Vizicho, Hitler also knew how to speak well. Obviously, we have to match our deeds to our speech. But it is undeniable that someone who speaks in such a coarse and crude fashion lacks a certain respect for others and therefore does not engender respect for him from people. You can't tweet and call everyone you know bad names and crazy this one and small that one. And what does he call them? I don't even know. Like, it affects the way we speak. It does. And that, says Rabbi Leff, is not the Yetzer Hara. No. It's the curse of the part of the klala and the effect of galus. You would not say to anybody, "Do you want to smoke? It will kill you." If there's no societal pressure, why would they even want to try this in the first place? He said something funny in the shir. He said when he was 16 or 17, he decided he's going to rebel. So how's he going to rebel? He's going to smoke. So he bought himself a pack of cigarettes. Or I don't know where he got them. He sat in the yeshiva in the base medrash, and he hoped his rebbeim would walk in. And then he says, "I don't know what I was thinking. My rebbeim were both chain smokers. But I thought this is how I was going to rebel." He says, "I'm sitting by myself in the base medrash. I took one puff. I thought I was going to die. Now I thought I'm by myself in the base medrash. I'm dying. Who's going to help me?" He said, that was it. So if you give a person who has no societal pressure this Ferragamo belt versus the Costco belt or the Suit Central belt and the torn jeans from the Salvation Army and the torn jeans from, I don't know, designer label, and not smoking or smoking, it's not a Yetzer Hara. So when you look at coarse speech, part of it comes from the fact our teva is to be baishanim. Our society has degenerated so badly, did I say the word right? That we are at a point where even the president of the United States, which was always a position of dignity and respect, doesn't know how to talk anymore.
Normal.
What?
It's really not normal the way he speaks. I'm sorry.
I know, we can't talk politics. I am agreeing, but it's just...
I'm using it as an example, and he has done tremendous... He's probably the biggest Ohev Yisrael we have had in I don't know how long.
You don't want your kids to hear him speak.
But imagine children saying, "This is the President of the United States of America," and it becomes dangerous. Let's say a child says, "Well, if they can talk like that, then I can talk. If he could talk like that, then I could talk like this."
My husband and I talk, and it's probably younger people don't necessarily appreciate as much as the difference in going to the Kotel now than I went the first time to the Kotel when I was 12 or 13. The
sense of respect.
I mean, first of all, you have all the tourists, which my husband and I just think we should just get rid of.
You have what?
My husband and I always think, get rid of the tourists, the non-Jews who are coming. I just get rid of them.
But they can't do that. It's not politically correct.
Right, they can't. But
another bad word, yeah. Right.
But even from people, Haredi people, I have told people, you're at, you know, like, who pick up? I have no, you know, my kids are embarrassed, but this was not the way. First of all, everybody in the old days, you all dressed appropriately. There were
you always
dressed appropriately. When you got to the kotel, there was that little basket that whatever people put on, you know, skirts and put on something on their, you know, hair covering. And it's really unfortunately, and this is the kotel. This
okay,
is,
so this is
know,
a prime example of the fact that if we have no busha, we have no Yerushalayim. We have no busha, we have no yira.
Don't really get it because they unfortunately never, but no. The first, you know, when I was first time seeing, I mean, it was...
You felt a sense of intrepidation, yeah. And today you don't.
It's just, yeah.
It's very sad. So you could substitute some act this way in the presence of Gedolei Yisrael. So you could say some act this way in the presence of Makom HaMikdash. They seem to feel no shame talking however they please about anything that pleases them. Even sometimes when women speak about amongst themselves, it's not appropriate. In the name of Tahara Samishpacha today, it's not. I'm not talking about if you call Rav for a Shaila, and I'm not talking about if you need advice. Certain things that should not be spoken about that are spoken about. They seem to lack a this is like a very powerful part of the Sefer. They seem to lack a basic understanding that they should be quiet. Why does everything need to be said? And that's part of the Mageva of online. You know, I've heard Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schechter say it in two different Shiurim over the past few months that I listened to. He said, I always tell my students, don't post it. Don't send it and don't email it. Once you say it, it's out there, he says. You cannot say delete and it's deleted. Where is it? It's out there. I've heard him say it twice in two different shiurim. He says, I always tell my students, don't say it. Don't post it and don't email. Once you do it, it's out there. We just lack a basic understanding that we need to be quiet. We need to ask respectfully in the presence of those who are greater. It's a magefa. I wanted to quote from Rabbi Yosef Tendler, who is the Menahal. My husband actually was just telling us a story tonight about when he was in Baltimore. Rabbi Tendler actually came to Toronto to be our Masada Kedushin, Zichrono Lebracha. Asher Nikia, Rabbi Tendler presented the following shmuz on the topic of speech. The Gemara states, a person can be defined by his, the Gemara Meseches Eruvin, I did not look up the Gemaras, I'm quoting Rabbi Tendler. The Gemara states, a person can be defined by his pocket, his cup, and his anger. Pocket signifies whether or not he acts honestly in business and how he relates to money. Cup applies to when he drinks liquor or wine and divulges his innermost self. We could also say that cup... I'm sure, I don't think that this is what the Gemara says based on his interpretation, but just how you drink. And anger refers to how one behaves when he is upset. Elsewhere, the Gemara adds, a person can be seen through four things. The way he dresses is added to the first three. So first the Gemara says three things, pocket, cup, anger. And elsewhere, the Gemara adds how a person dresses. One should dress neatly, without haughtiness. I think it relates back to the examples that I gave, that why are my kids coming home and telling me that the boys on the bus, these children are in 7th and 8th grade, are talking about designer belts. How does my kids even know these names? Another opinion adds, there's a fifth way you can define a person through speech. Pocket, cup, anger, dress, speech. The Rambam explains, the sign of a Talmud Chacham is that he speaks only for a purpose. One who slanders others, one who tells lies, is the opposite of a Talmud Chacham. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, a nice and praiseworthy person who says something disgusting, a nice and praiseworthy person who says something disgusting, this is from Derech Eretz, Rabbi Perek Gemel, is similar to a large palace with a tannery inside. What is that? The commentary explains tannery means dirt. So if a person is nice and praiseworthy, but they say something disgusting, it's indicative that inside there is dirt. Because a true nice and praiseworthy person, Rav Steinman, Zecher Tzadav Kosh Levrach, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Gadol, and Chavetz Chaim, would not say something disgusting. So if someone seems to be externally nice, but says something disgusting, it's a indication that inside there's dirt. The Chazon Ish was once accused of lying. He was accused, that doesn't say he lied. But what did he say back to the person? Please do not say that I lied. Please say that I didn't say the truth. Not to say a negative, to say a positive in a negative way. It is obviously better to say someone said something not true rather than call him a liar. It's better to say perhaps he was mistaken. In the same way, when one eats and does not like his food, this is, what should you say? Instead of saying you don't like it or the food's disgusting. Oh, exactly. This food is not my taste. So I must make a bracha. I'm very thirsty. Bracha tadanai lehinu mechom shakon liyabedra. Thank you. Very thirsty. It reminded me, I'm sure you know this, in Parshas Noach, when in the beginning of, towards the beginning of the parasha, in Perek Zayin, how did Hashem command Noach to take animals into the Teva? What did he say when referring to the animals? Okay, so I'll just tell you. What? No, so what he says is, I know why you're saying that, because listen to the Lashon. Mikol ha-behema ha-tahora. In fact, the Gemara says, when I was looking it up for preparing for Shir, so the Gemara says in Masachas Sanhedrin, is there ish v'ishto? You know, the pasuk's weird. Why does it say from every pure animal you should take ish v'ishto? Why does it say that by animals? So the Gemara says that the ones that did not corrupt their ways, that stuck to their kinds, had the honorary title of ish v'ishto, even though obviously we use that to refer to human beings usually, it denotes that the animals did not corrupt their ways, because animals that corrupted their ways were not allowed into the teva. It was only animals that, the people were steeped in gilui arayus, it even affected the animals, only those animals that were not involved in mixing kinds were allowed into the teva. Mikol ha-behema ha-tahora, okay, umin ha-behema asher lo tahora, that's what you were hitting upon. It should say, I don't know. Tmeya, thank you. Trefa literally means torn. Umin ha-behema, it should say tmeya. What does it say? Umin ha-behema asher lo tahora. So, like the Chazon Ish said, please don't say, I lied. I shouldn't even like be speaking in a semi-indicative of a negative. Please say, I didn't speak the truth. Continues the pasuk. Umin ha-behema asher lo tahora, hi shnayim ish v'ishto. So you have Behema Tahora for Karbanos after the Mabel. You have Behema Tameir, but the Pasuk does not call them that. Going back inside. A couple of minutes left. Any questions? This lack of appreciation of greatness is related to inner coarseness. So I'm not going to start it tonight. I'm not going to quote the Shulchan Aruch, but Be'ezras Hashem next week. Why do people speak in Shul? It's not just that they don't know better. So some people, mamish, maybe don't. You could say, I don't know if you could even say that, but maybe someone doesn't know better. It's not just that. It's rather a lack of inner sensitivity. It is the inability to sense the disgrace implied in such behavior. And we are not even talking about whether or not a person has attained genuine fear of the Creator. Okay, forget if they're Yiras Shamayim. We're simply talking about being minimally sensitive to where, you know, I spoke somewhere. And there's no identifying information because Baruch Hashem, I speak in many, many places. And it was over a year ago. But it was a parent-child event. And it was not on a weeknight. And I can't tell you how many of the parents are on their phones. I don't care if you're not interested in what I'm talking about, even though I think it was appreciated because they wanted me back this year, but I was already booked in a different venue. But you just don't have any minimal sensitivity to where you are. It's supposed to be time dedicated. It's a parent-child event. The whole thing was only 20 minutes, my portion. Divided up into groups, 20 minutes. It's not possible that everyone there had a newborn baby at home. And it's not possible that everyone there was a doctor on call. We just don't know when to be quiet anymore. We just don't know when to be quiet. I mean, what was happening on, I don't know, Facebook or email or the news? I mean, it was all the time. I don't even care for myself. I don't care for myself. I don't know your names. I'm never going to see you again. I don't care if you don't like what I'm talking about. But you're sitting with this child who's at a very impressionable age. And we just lack... And it reflects my behavior sometimes, perhaps it reflects your behavior sometimes. We just lack inner sensitivity. Rabbi Willow, I've told you, has spoken many times about using phones in shul. There's an inability to sense disgrace We just don't have busha anymore. Anything goes all the time. We forget the messages we're passing on to the next generation, not through our words, through our behavior. We are not even talking about whether you're a Yerushalayim. I'm not even asking if you have fear of the Creator. It's simply being minimally sensitive to where you are. And we have no sensitivity. And it's part of the Megefa of society that affects where we are. And to not have busha is a crisis because it is an essential element for serving Hashem. One must attain inner fineness. It is one of the most essential qualities, and we saw that in Sparkling Speech by Rabbi Sandler. He quoted many sources. The Archos Tzadikim, the Chovas Alvava said it was the most important midah that precedes all other midahs. It is not attained from outside. You must strive to acquire from deep in the soul. The outside elements will work against you attaining busha. We must strive in the inner recesses of our soul to go back to tzanua, behema tahora, and we call behema asher. Why are we smiling? You want to finish with a comment? Okay, so the Ezra Sashem, the Rebbeinu Shalom, should